Manuscript Releases, Volume 5, Mr. Number 293, The Relation of Ministers and Physicians. It is as much required by God that His followers shall in the medical profession reveal the Spirit of Christ in harmonizing in their work as that the ministers of the gospel shall harmonize in their labors for the salvation of souls. This independence to do every one as appears right in his own eyes is after satanic order, but not after Christ. There is need of thorough order and all after Christ, in the medical profession. Both men and women can be so much more useful as medical missionaries than as missionaries with the medical education. I am more and more impressed with the fact that a more decided testimony must be borne upon this subject, that more direct efforts must be made to interest the proper persons, setting before them the advantages that every missionary will have in understanding how to treat those who are diseased in body, as well as to minister to sin-sick souls. This double ministration will give the laborer together with God access to homes, and will enable him to reach all classes of society. An intelligent knowledge of how to treat disease upon hygienic principles will gain the confidence of many who otherwise would not be reached with the truth. In affliction, many are humbled in spirit, and words in favor of the truth spoken to them in tenderness by one who is seeking to alleviate physical sufferings may touch the heart. Prayer, short, weighted with tenderest sympathy, presenting the suffering ones in a faith to the great physician, will inspire in them a confidence, a rest, and trust that will lend to the health of both soul and body. I have been surprised at being asked by physicians if I did not think it would be more pleasing to God for them to give up their medical practice and enter the ministry. I am prepared to answer such an inquirer. If you are a competent physician, you are qualified to do tenfold more good as a missionary for God than if you were to go forth merely as a preacher of the word. I would advise young men and women to give heed to this matter. Perilous times are before us. The whole world will be involved in perplexity and distress. Disease of every kind will be upon the human family, and such ignorance as now prevails concerning the laws of health would result in great suffering and the loss of many lives that might be saved. In almost every church there are young men and women who might receive education either as nurses or physicians. They will never have a more favorable opportunity than now. It should ever be kept before them that their work is not only to relieve physical suffering, but to minister to souls that are ready to perish. It is important that everyone who is to act as a medical missionary be skilled in ministering to the soul, as well as to the body. He is to be an imitator of Christ, presenting to the sick and suffering the preciousness of pure and undefiled religion, while doing all in his power to relieve physical distress and to preserve this mortal life. He should point to the mercy and the love of Jesus, the great physician, who came that whosoever believeth in him might not perish, but have everlasting life. There is a most decided work that needs to be done in our churches throughout the field. There has been in many places a lack of cooperation and harmonious action, but if the workers will now lay aside their personal ambitions and prejudices, and will all draw unitedly in Bible lines, a change will be wrought among our people. Why do not all our ministers heartily cooperate with those who are carrying forward the medical missionary work? Why do they not follow the example of Christ, and carefully study his life, that they may know how he would have them labor? Is it for you, the appointed ministers of Christ, who have his example before you, to stand off and criticize the very work which he came among men to do? The world needs evidences of sincere Christianity. Professed Christianity may be seen everywhere, but when the power of God's grace is seen in our churches, the members will work the works of Christ. Natural and hereditary traits of character will be transformed. The indwelling of his Spirit will enable them to reveal Christ's likeness, and in proportion to the purity of their piety will be the success of their work. The indifference which has existed among our ministers in regard to health reform and medical missionary work is surprising. Some who do not profess to be Christians treat these matters with greater reverence than do some of our own people, and unless we arouse, they will go in advance of us. When you become one with your brethren, as is represented in the 17th chapter of John, you may expect the love and power of God to flow in rich currents into your soul. The work of God is not divided, it is one, and if there is any separation between the medical missionary work and the ministry, it will be because the Holy Spirit is not working upon hearts. Honesty, integrity, justice, mercy, love, compassion, and sympathy are embraced in medical missionary work. In this work, the religion of the Bible is to be practiced. The Lord does not want anyone to work as his representative who follows the wrong customs and practices of worldly physicians in treating suffering humanity. There is much work to be done, and the Lord has specified that medical missionary work should be connected with the gospel ministry as the arms are connected with the body. Neither part of the work is complete without this union. God designs medical missionary work to be bound up with the gospel ministry, joined closely to it, because it is the gospel in illustration. Ministers and doctors are to work in perfect union. As the physician instructs the people in the principles of true temperance, and as the guardian of souls gives advice to those who are sick in mind and body, the medical missionary work, as the right arm of the body, is doing its work. Countless are the opportunities which come to the physician to warn the careless, cheer the disconsolate and hopeless, and wisely prescribe for the health of the suffering. He is to point his patients to the great physician, who can heal both soul and body. Ministers and physicians are both to work with earnestness to save the souls who are being bound up in Satan's snare. They are to speak words which point men and women to Jesus, their righteousness, their strength, and the health of their countenance. Continually they are to watch for souls. This work belongs just as surely to the doctor as to the minister. The Lord designs that the influence of doctors and ministers shall harmonize. By public and private efforts, the physician is to seek to win souls to Christ. Our physicians are to unite with the work of the ministry of the gospel. Souls are to be saved, that the name of God may be magnified, and the physician is not to feel when brought in contact with the higher classes of society that he must hide the peculiar characteristics which sanctification through the truth give him. The greatest respect will ever be shown to the physician who reveals that he takes his orders from God. Therefore he is not to take himself into his own hands, but be in every respect a representative of Christ. The Lord has a special work to be done. This work is not to be done in accordance with man's planning. Medical missionary work is to be closely connected with the ministry of the Word, bound up with the third angel's message, the last message of mercy and warning to be given to a guilty world. The work of health reform is to be bound up with the gospel. These cannot be separated, for God has united them. When these parts of the work are carried forward on correct lines, the third angel's message will be given in accordance with God's purpose. God has connected the work of the physician with the work of the minister. Both are needed. Each is to strengthen and give influence to the other. Physicians and ministers are engaged in one and the same great work, a work which embraces truths of infinite importance. We bear the most solemn message ever given to our world, and physicians and ministers, with all other workers, are to draw together. They are not to pull apart. The physician is not to think that he will be more popular if he stands out separate from the gospel ministry. Doctors and ministers must draw together. It is God's plan to unite solidly the ministry and the medical missionary work. The ministry is connected with the work of health reform as verily as the arm is connected with the body. Health reform is the helping hand of the ministry. Both were bound together in the work of the Lord Jesus. The one gives completeness to the other. The labor of the faithful minister is to be connected with the labors of the physicians. All the workers are to consecrate their talents to the building up of the Sydney Sanitarium Institution. If they will reflect the light of heaven, souls will be converted. God is to be made first and last and best in everything. The proclamation of the truth for this time is to be the one great interest. The Lord would have the medical missionary work be to the cause of truth as the hands and arms to the body. You, Dr. Kellogg, have tried to make the medical missionary work the whole body, but in this you have not succeeded. Let this work occupy its appointed place, just as God designed it should. Let the ministers of the gospel and the medical missionary workers blend in Christian unity. It is not the will of God that the medical missionary work shall be all and in all. He designs that the evangelical work and the medical work shall blend in perfect unity. This can be, and every feature of the work can be complete in occupying its proper place in the body. God will take his whole work in hand, every phase of it, and will carry it forward wondrously if men will not interfere by bringing in their human inventions, drawing wrong threads into the pattern. Medical missionary work is included in the work of the gospel ministry. This is God's plan. No medical fraternity is complete without the gospel ministry.